Chapter 4, Keeping Your Mind Limber, Drugs, Alcohol, and Bipolar Disorder. Comedian and living testament to the fact that you can be an incredibly successful bipolar person, Taylor Tomlinson talks openly about suffering from bipolar disorder in her stand-up, and as an aside, she's really great live. In one of her sets, however, she has joked about how being friends with bipolar people is like being friends with someone who can't swim. It's like being friends with a normal person, except there are some places you just can't go. But, as she likes to say, they make floaties now. That's what drugs are, your floaties. As I write this chapter, I'm running on a strict drug regimen designed to keep my mind limber and functioning. Allow me, if you will, to give you a quick breakdown of each drug I frequently consume and explain whether or not I find it helpful in dealing with my bipolar. And when I say every drug, I mean all of them, starting with caffeine. Any of these alone and or together may or may not be helpful to you, but they work for me. Some of them, anyways. And of course, I have to preface all of this by saying that this is just one dude's opinion on what works for him. See a doctor, though, when making decisions about what drugs to use when limbering up your mind, preferably one who's a good psychiatrist, and thorough. Let's start with caffeine. Caffeine by itself won't necessarily tend to be terrible for you in small amounts, but if you're manic or prone to it, then you should probably limit your intake to no more than 3 iced lattes a day, as caffeine can help trigger mania. And while we're at it, smoking isn't great for bipolar either. It's been found to be associated with mixed episodes, manic cycling, and more severe episodes. So, not great. That said, nearly all of the people I know who are bipolar smoke one thing or another, but we also do a lot of things that aren't great for us. All things in moderation is a key tenet here. Chain smoking during your manic episodes isn't great, says I, as I chain smoke my way through the White House sweets I bought this morning. Do as I say, not as I do applies here, dude. While briefly dabbling in the process of smoking cessation, I learned that you can even smoke tea. What a time to be alive. Well, apparently they were smoking tea in China millennia ago. Must be some kind of an Eastern thing, I guess. I just learned about it recently, though. It's just okay as a substitute, although I have to say that at least it's much cheaper than tobacco. And let's round out things that aren't great for bipolar people by discussing alcohol. I have a tricky relationship with it, as do many bipolar folks. Before being diagnosed, I was already a heavy drinker. That didn't really slow down at all after I had my first hospitalization. And honestly, it didn't slow down until I met my new special lady friend, aka my fiance, who has helped me cut back a significant amount. I would suggest, however, that when you become manic or depressed, you cut it out entirely. One night around Thanksgiving in 2022, I was still dating my new special lady friend, or SLF, Jay. She was busy that evening, so I went out to one of my favorite bars in Dayton, Toxic Brew Company. They have a great house-made beer selection and some high ABV beers. I love the Belgians they have, but 9% plus is kind of steep, even for me. Well, one thing to know about being manic is that it increases your proclivity to experiment with all drugs while also increasing your appetite for them as well. So, of course, I got absolutely trashed. I was wise enough to know I needed an alternative way home, but I wasn't all there otherwise. So I called another Jay, my best friend from high school, to come get me. And come he did. Get me, he did not. He decided to wait out in the car and text me that he was there, but I didn't hear it. By the time I realized he was there 45 minutes later, he had already left. I was livid. I started cussing him out over text, accusing him of abandoning me. In reality, it was my fault. Blaming others for your behavior is something bipolar people tend to do when manic, so friends and family, consider yourselves warned. Having lost my ride option, I decided to order a lift home. Only problem was I was living in a camper at the time that was almost 40 minutes from that bar. So after spending around $50 on a lift, I arrived home completely wasted and crashed. Little did I realize that I had let my phone die, so my SLF was worried sick about me all night since I wasn't responding. To make matters worse, my propane had run out, so I was stuck in the cold camper with my kitties curled up in a bunch of blankets with the space heater going all night. I woke up and realized I had fucked up, and that SLF Jay was probably worried sick, so I walked across the street to a restaurant, phone and charger in hand, to try and siphon off some electricity. It didn't work. At one point, I even tried to use a little hand crank-operated charger to awaken my phone long enough to send a single text message. I hadn't gotten an arm workout like that since I took too much Viagra one time, but I also didn't get a charge. So I went to the people who I was trying to purchase the property from, which is a whole other story for another chapter, but I digress, and asked them to charge my phone. Once it was charged enough to power on, a slew of messages popped up from my SLF and friends asking if I was okay. Eventually, they were asking me if I was alive or not. Suffice it to say, I had reached the point of having a drinking problem and realized something needed to change. As a result of all of this, I cut out alcohol completely for a while and then gradually reintroduced it. Cutting out alcohol entirely was something I hadn't done in over a decade, and it was sorely needed. I had developed a heavy drinking habit. I could go to a night of trivia and have a pitcher of beer and maybe leave feeling slightly buzzed. Now that much alcohol in such a short amount of time will make me throw up, which I learned the hard way. Figuring out whether you're capable of having a relationship with alcohol or not, though, is something every bipolar person should do. Or at least that's, you know, just like my opinion, man. And I say having a relationship versus having a healthy one, because alcohol isn't really good for anyone, but especially non-bipolar people. Unfortunately, bipolar people also tend to have higher rates of alcoholism. This is understandable, given that it's an albeit unhealthy way to relieve anxiety and forget about your problems, but it's not a good one. I'll suggest a better one later on in the chapter. Cough, cough, weed, cough, cough. But it often works temporarily, and that's why so many of us abuse it. At the end of the day, however, it can help increase the likelihood of going manic or becoming depressed, and make symptoms of each worse. Sometimes you can't recover from it, as depression and alcohol usage can be a deadly combination, unfortunately. My suggestion is that if you're going to drink alcohol, at least cut back on or cut alcohol out entirely when you're manic or depressed. And even when you're not manic or depressed, you should probably cut back on alcohol. If you find yourself drinking more than 2 drinks per day or binge drinking frequently, you're probably drinking too much, dude. Slow it down a bit. Now, I know that seems like advice you wouldn't hear from a dudist, but don't worry, I still abide with the occasional White Russian, although my favorite drink is actually an Old Fashioned, and I tend to mostly drink socially these days. All that being said, we can't cut out our vices entirely, right? Weed is my drug of choice when it comes to my own strict drug regimen that I use to keep my mind limber and abiding. And yes, many doctors will tell you it's not good for bipolar people to use weed, and I hear them, I really do. But at the end of the day, you're the expert on how your body works, so listen to it. I've listened to mine, and on balance, I find that doing a J is more helpful than it is harmful for me. Let me explain why. Research conducted in the past decade has shown that cannabis usage amongst bipolar people can, in fact, have a positive impact. One study in 2015 found that cannabis usage by bipolar folks can enhance their mood. I would have to concur with this. And it's not just when I'm depressed. I found that anxiety and paranoia tend to accompany my manic episodes, and for me at least, cannabis helps with both symptoms. It can even out my mood as well, and it allows the racing thoughts to subside for a while when I medicate during particularly intense mania. But it's not just on the manic side. I found that cannabis can help my depression as well, as it helps lift my mood, increase my appetite, and reduce my anxiety, all things that are typical challenges for me when I'm depressed. In fact, those same researchers found that even though these things do help people suffering from a manic or depressive episode, bipolar people tend not to use them during the times that they would be most helpful. So if anything, you should probably be consuming more weed, not less. But hey, I'm not a doctor, so this is not medical advice. If you want that, listen to episode 97 of my Killing Time with Arch podcast, where I asked Dr. Mary Clifton, at Mary Clifton MD on TikTok, how weed affects people with bipolar disorder. I'm just telling you what works well for me, and anecdotally, a lot of my bipolar friends. Another possibly less talked about reason to medicate with weed would be that it helps reduce your alcohol intake. At least for me it does. What I've found is that when I'm consuming cannabis, it makes me thirsty. Obviously, I'm not the first to discover this downside to the green stuff. Cottonmouth is real, my friends. But as a result, I tend to drink things like water or other hydrating liquids when I'm smoking instead of alcohol, which dehydrates the body. And if you compare the two, whether it be for bipolar people or the normies, alcohol is far worse and has much more potential devastating effects than weed does. So no, I don't mind if you do a J while being bipolar, dude. But if it doesn't help you, don't do it. Simple as that. Which brings up a good point. The same drug cocktail that works well for one person may not help someone else at all. In fact, it could make them worse. I have such stories to share, starting with Abilify. This drug was prescribed to me after I got out of the hospital for the second time, and at first I thought it was working. It's a mood stabilizer, and it was trying to do just that. To some extent, it succeeded, as my mood was pretty stable while I was on the medication. Unfortunately, it was a stable depression. That's right, I was depressed. For like a year. All because of this stupid pill. I shouldn't say stupid, though, because I know many people have had success with it. For me, though, it caused insomnia, depression, anxiety, and more. It wasn't worth it. So I tried a different drug regimen with the help of my psychiatrist. He switched me over to lithium, which I had dreaded trying because taking it often requires regular blood testing, and I hate having my blood taken. I don't mind shots or things going into my body, but I hate it when things go out of my body, particularly through a syringe. But now, I'm currently taking that twice a day, Wellbutrin once per day, and olanzapine and antipsychotic as needed. I take that when I get particularly manic, like enough to where other people start to notice, and it helps me slow down the racing thoughts. It makes me shake more, though, than the lithium does, which is annoying, but it's worth it. Now, finding that combo that works for me has taken a long time. I've tried a lot of different options over the years. Some I tried for a year or more before switching. Others I tried for just one night. I've also been on other mood stabilizers, like Depakote and antipsychotics, such as Risperdal and Latuda. Latuda gave me the shakes, or tardive dyskinesia, to use the preferred nomenclature. It was too much for me, so I stopped it after one night. Lithium doesn't seem to make me shake nearly as bad, so it's manageable. I also take Wellbutrin, which is an antidepressant. It's controversial to prescribe antidepressants because they can trigger mania, but many doctors do it. Isn't it funny that they think taking a pill that might increase your mania is worth the risk, but smoking a plant that does the same but also has beneficial side effects isn't? Makes you wonder if Big Pharma is influencing our doctors. But I digress. I choose to take pills and plants, and both work for me in different ways. So if you're getting frustrated that one drug combo isn't working, just remember there's always another combo to try. And eventually you'll figure out that balance of side effects and positive benefits that's worth putting up with. Just don't go off your meds and go all Kanye on us. No one likes a bipolar person off their meds. Not even you. Also, you'll see a lot of meds they say shouldn't be taken with alcohol. Often that's because it enhances the effects of alcohol, i.e. makes you sleepier or more aggressive, etc. That's one reason a lot of people don't take their meds, which I think is a bad idea. That being said, you've got to live your life, as one pharmacist told me when I asked him if I could take a particular drug with alcohol or not. Plus, you're a cheaper date. But he did something I find very valuable, which is that he listed the side effects and then left it to me to make a decision. That's how I wish doctors treated us all the time, because at the end of the day, as I like to say, all medications are self-medications, as long as you're taking them by choice. This is true because ultimately I have to decide that the medication is worth taking, and the doctor's job is to convince me why it will help and educate me on the pros and cons of taking it so I can make an informed decision. That's how I think it should work, at least. So be honest with your doctor, and if you don't feel like you can, you really need to find another doctor. But at the end of the day, whether you have bipolar or not, you're literally poisoning your body, albeit with delicious liquids, when you consume alcohol. So let's not pretend there's a truly healthy way to drink, and finally stop judging bipolar people who choose to consume alcohol or weed or anything else they choose to put in their bodies, particularly if it's not harming you. End of rant. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that non-alcoholic beers and even spirits have truly stepped up their game recently, so I'd definitely check those out during your manic and depressive episodes. You can find a lot of decent NA beer alternatives, if that's your thing, but you can also find a lot of non-alcoholic spirits. In Dayton, there's a coffee shop I like to frequent called Ghostlight that sells NA spirits, and they really are capable of making some delicious cocktails. I would argue that the ones out there trying to replace other spirits, like whiskey or rum alternatives, aren't nearly as good as ones that are just trying to make interesting flavors. I've found a really good mix of some to make an excellent Negroni substitute, for instance. It's no White Russian, of course, but it's a nice substitute when you need to cut back. Now that we've covered some of the many ways in which you can keep your mind limber and abiding, let's talk about maintaining your friendships next.